In 2020, when all hope for humanity seemed lost, two heroes emerged from the darkness, armed with only their beards and a love for whiskey. Together with one mission, they proclaim, from this day forth, Cranky and Rant shall leave no bourbon unopened and no whiskey unsipped. Welcome to Brothers with Beards Whiskey Night.
Do you want to do the intro here for Crooked Water?
Crooked Water. Crooked Water is from Minnesota. It is part of the Women-Owned Whiskey Network, owned by Heather Manley. It is a double-barreled straight bourbon whiskey, 90 proof. And Rant can't see the packaging, but it's badass. So anyway.
Cool.
Got a big-ass bear on it. Because the backstory is, I'm just going to give you a quick backstory. You ready for it?
Yeah, fill me in.
Are you ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's got this big old bear. So there is a...
is it a black bear or a brown bear?
It is a brown bear.
Grizzly bear?
Yeah, a grizzly bear. It is a grizzly bear that they called Old Hell. Because when he was up there, he used to terrorize campers and hunters and stuff, and he kind of became a myth. He has since died, but there's still other grizzlies up there that they kind of, like, they don't want to shoot the mean old bear up there because it's kind of a myth up in up there in Minnesota there, guy.
So more like a legend.
Yeah, there you go. Legend, exactly. So Old Harold Roaring is, you know, him roaring at people up in the Minnesota forest up there, guy.
Okay.
So yeah, one of the few whiskey bourbons in the United States that has a female owner and a female master distiller.
And is not in Kentucky.
It is not. So,
okay, well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so actually she's really cool. I had a small email conversation with her about a month back telling her I really liked her product and that she should let me sell it for her. But anyway, they don't make enough yet.
But we diverse.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. So can anybody even find this?
So I found this online, and it had some good ratings and some very interesting notes about it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy this and see what it's like.
Okay.
And so now we're here to try it. So I'm pretty pumped up about it.
All right. Well, it sounds cool. Yeah. Color is pretty cool. I like that.
It is very nice.
A little bit of reddish in there. Pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, it is very reddish.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Are you using your new glass, bro?
Absolutely.
Nice. We're smelling, right? Are we smelling? Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I apologize.
No need to apologize. I'm just making sure we're on the same page here. Yeah, because anybody listening has no idea where.
Yeah, they're just like, this is awkward silence right now.
Yeah, it's like we're 300 miles apart. So it's kind of hard to see what each other's doing. But that's all right. We'll figure it out.
I get a little bit of I definitely get some wood. I almost have like a little bit of like cedar or something, which is a weird smell.
Well, I don't think it's a necessary smell. So it's double barreled. So they age it in a charred barrel.
Yeah.
Then they take it out and they have another barrel, a second barrel, which has to be new. They have to be new to be called bourbon whiskey. Mm-hmm. But it's heavier charred.
Okay.
So, you know, in the aging process. So, you know, I don't necessarily get cedar, but I definitely get wood.
Yeah. All right. I'm tasting this thing.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Do you start with ice again or are you going neat?
Neat. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Initially, I'm digging it.
That is really tasty.
Now that there's a whiskey, boy.
Jeez, that's good, man.
Yeah.
They need to make more of this then.
Well, they have a bunch of other products online. I just picked this one because, you know, it looked cool. I know she does a couple other whiskeys and some gins and whatnot. I bought a t-shirt that has Old Hell Roaring on it, and it's badass. So every time I wear it, people are like, that shirt is badass. And it is. So support her. Mm. So it's 90 proof. I don't get a whole bunch of heat though. You?
Yeah, I get a fair amount, but I don't get a lot of like, it's not like an overwhelming ethanol, like, you know, smell or anything. That's a, you know, could be kind of offensive on your nose. But I definitely get some heat from it. Yeah, for sure.
I get, first off, I get, smoke. And I think that's from the second barrel of char, but it's like smoky and
yeah, vanilla. But it's not like yeah, it's smoky, but not like a not like like, you know, like a Scotch ashtray.
No.
It's not like that. It's.
I'm talking more like, you know, when you got a fire and you get a specific piece of like nice wood and it burns and has a nice smoky smell feel to it, type of thing. That's.
Yeah, this would be really good, like around a campfire.
Oh, I couldn't. I mean, I'm just excited to have some around the fire pit when it's time. Yeah, I like it. And then I get some, definitely get some vanilla, definitely get some oak. I like that. I like that. I say, I'm going to put some ice in it just to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think ice in here also. I think sometimes that helps release a little bit of the flavors.
Well, yeah, it did say on the back, you know, use water or ice, you know, to bring out more of the taste profile.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm going to do while we're talking, though? Since you haven't seen the bottle, I'm gonna text you a picture of this bottle.
Yeah, that's probably brilliant. Probably should have done that before we even started. But
yeah, but dude, come on, man.
I know.
We are not professionals. We are merely... You're merely connoisseurs of fine whiskeys.
Yeah, I don't know if you need to be a professional to know to take a picture, but yeah.
Well, being a dick to me is certainly not going to help.
Oh.
Yeah? No?
Oh, it just showed up. Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a little Game of Thrones-ish.
Yes, with the gold and black bear.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty cool bottle.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was way cool. Looks good on the bar, but now we're drinking it, having a little gander with ice, or not a gander, a little taste. Oh,
yeah, I don't know, man. I like it. I do. But I don't have a lot of flavors, different flavor profiles going on in there, to be honest.
Yeah. Complexity might not be there. I mean, I get pretty much smoke.
Yeah. It's like smoke. It's like smoke and wood.
Would I get a little vanilla there?
Yeah, you get a little bit. I mean, I do too as well, but
yeah, I'm not saying this is you know, overly complex.
No, it's not. This would probably be pretty good if you were just hanging out with the fellas around a campfire, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I really
stories or something,
swapping stories. Yeah,
ghost stories, not just regular stories.
Oh, yeah, 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 I gotcha. I'm not really good at ghost stories.
Marshmallow.
Did you say roasting a marshmallow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like roasted marshmallows.
Seriously, those are the best, man.
I don't like s'mores either.
Well, if you don't like roasted marshmallows, you're probably not going to like a s'more, since, you know, a large portion of the s'more is a roasted marshmallow.
You know, I don't know what's gotten into you tonight, but talking to me like I'm 7 is not helping. No,
it's common sense, though. Yeah,
it's not happening with me. You're treating me like a child tonight, even before we got on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm older than you, remember?
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, it's not.
It's like a.
What?
I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, it's just interesting in the sense that it tastes good, it's enjoyable, it's not very complex, which is fine. Like I said, I think it's a good hanging around.
Sometimes I don't need complex, sometimes I just want a bourbon. Right?
Yeah.
At least it's, I mean, I think it's like a full, like it's a full bodied whiskey. I'm going to give it that.
It is. And it's also very smooth. I'll say that as well.
Yeah.
So I appreciate those qualities about it for sure. I mean, it's pretty bold. It's not like a watered down whiskey. The flavor profile on it, I would say, is not very complex. It's pretty limited, but not necessarily. It's not like it's in a bad way or anything.
No, not at all.
There can be a beauty in simplicity. So, yeah.
But I think the part of it that I'm digging the most, frankly, is that upfront smoky, but not, like you said, it's not Scotch smoky.
Yeah, it's not like it's not like you're drinking, you know.
It's almost like a smoked meat.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
You don't seem enthused at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so
I wouldn't really say I'm enthused by it. I mean, it's good, but it's just I have no idea how much. What, you know, what's the price point on this?
Oh, there we're gonna go. $57 is what I paid for it.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean,
no, I don't like what you're saying.
Well, I'm not saying
this is going to get a bad rant rating.
I haven't given my rating yet. I'm not necessarily. I don't think I'm going to give it a bad rating. It's just not going to get a great rating. It's going to get an okay rating.
Okay. All right. So now that we're through some of this, I'm going to read the back of the bottle just because I like doing that shit.
Sure.
Is a robust double barrel bourbon at its best. Our proprietary complex multi-hour toasting and smoking process delivers an intense, beautiful experience with rounded notes of deep vanilla, burnt caramel, and smoldering campfire. Oh, yeah. We nailed that on the head.
Oh, I nailed the campfire.
Yeah.
Damn.
Welcome to Old Hellroy, a labor of love.
Yeah.
Damn, yeah. We got vanilla. I don't get burnt caramel, but, you know. Whatever. You said marshmallow.
Yeah.
I don't think it's marshmallow. I think you're more talking about the toasted marshmallow.
Well, you know, when you, like they get caramelized or whatever you want to call it. When
yeah, exactly.
You put a marshmallow in there and you get it, you know, it kind of browns all up. That's what we call it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. So.
I don't know. First, I don't know. I'm just digging this. I'm digging it, whiskey. I'm digging it. I really like it. I mean, I just don't kind of like it, but I really like it.
I don't know. It's weird. Like I said, I mean, it's not like I dislike it. I like it. It's just.
Right. I get it.
You're drinking like different whiskeys. You know, you kind of like want to have something that's a little bit more unique, I guess. I don't think there's anything wrong with this at all. It tastes good. But if you're looking, you know, if you want to try something, if you're looking to try something different, or something with some complexity, I wouldn't go here. You know,
yeah.
Like I said, if you're just hanging out with, you know, some of your friends on a patio or in the around a campfire, this would probably be a good choice. Or again, if you have people that aren't really that into whiskeys or bourbon, this would probably be a pretty good choice because it's not harsh, it's not overly. I don't know. Some of them have more of what I would maybe say an acquired taste. This is pretty, it's real smooth. It's easy to drink, but
I think I would, you know, I think I should be wearing my smoking jacket right now for it and having my feet up on a leather ottoman by the fireplace.
I don't get that at all.
No. I'm just saying like a feeling, like an interpersonal feeling, like I should be drinking that while doing that.
What?
Dude. So.
What you're talking
I'm going to go inside and get my smoking jacket on and get my velvet slippers.
Sure.
Sit in a leather chair by the fire and drink this.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's the feeling I get. And you're just bagging on me as usual.
It just reminds me of more like sitting around a campfire with some flannel on.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's because you're a douche.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I've already had it with you tonight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You're already frustrating me.
Not frustrating. Yeah. No, I.
So. Speaking of which, well, I think the reason I brought that up is because in my studio here that I'm in,
mm-hmm.
I have my dad's leather chair that he gave to me, like in the will. I haven't really used it. It's just been sitting in the house. So I'm actually going to bring it out here. Then I'm going to get a boom from my microphone here. So I can have whiskey night in my leather chair.
Well, that's a good idea. That's kind of cool.
I thought it was kind of cool too. I came up with this idea today. I got the thumbs up from the wife. So yeah, I'm going to be redoing my studio here tomorrow, and I'm super pumped about it.
What? If you actually smell the bottle,
yeah,
the neck of the bottle,
yeah,
I do get pretty strong caramel.
Well, like we've said in the past, your nose is much better than mine.
So. Yeah, I think part of it's probably because I've had this here sitting here a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Probably dried on there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you definitely can get the caramel from it. It's, like I said, yeah, I don't know. I like it. I like the color of it. It's pretty safe. It does. It tastes good.
I know. It's not blowing your socks off, but it's, you know what? You know what I'm going to consider this as? This is like an everyday bourbon for me. Like if I want to drink bourbon every day, this is totally good for me. I will drink it all day, every day.
This wouldn't actually be a bad idea, you know, bad bourbon if you just, you know, you just got done with work. First thing you do, you come in the house, you know, pour yourself a bourbon, pick up the newspaper. So,
dude,
you know, down on your couch, have a drink while you're waiting for your, you know, your wife to put dinner on the table in 1955.
Well, anyway, I'm just, yeah, my wife's not really that kind. And
nobody does that anymore. It's my point. It's like, meh, I think this might have been, what was the guy? Leave it to Beaver. Ward.
Ward Cleaver.
I think this was the bourbon that he had every night when he came home.
Dude, now I think that's a total insult right there.
I don't think Leave It to Beaver is an insult.
Okay, we're talking about you saying that Ward Cleaver is going to come home, and this is the bourbon he's going to drink every night. First of all, Ward Cleaver was drinking like I don't even know, Canadian Mist or something.
It's so bad. You don't know that.
Yeah, I do. Look at their house. Look at June's clothes, man.
Oh my God.
They were not rolling in it, bro.
You are extremely judgmental right now.
Yes. Yeah. You can't hide who you are. So, uh-oh, did somebody come in the studio?
No, not at all. It's probably my glass.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
I'm still trying it. You know, it's like sometimes you drink a little bit more of it. You know, I like to get it.
Yeah, I mean, as you go on, your palate should get used to it, and you'll be able to pick up more flavors, correct? I mean, that's generally the assumptions.
Yeah, I think to a degree. It depends how far along the night you're talking about.
Yeah, well,
you're about halfway through this bottle. I'm not sure your palate's picking up the whole flavor profile anymore.
Oh, yeah. It comes with a modicum of perspective, right? Because obviously I'm going to start losing flavor way before you, because you seem to be able to drink way more than me.
Probably because I weigh more than you.
This is true. Probably outweigh me about by, I don't know.
Stone?
Two. Yeah. If that's 70 pounds, then yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't either. So why'd you throw it out?
Because he weighs 3 stone.
Like, were you watching the World's Strongest Man competition?
No, but like Braveheart.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, I remember Braveheart. It's one of my favorite movies.
I don't know what the breakdown is. I know you have like stone, but what if you're like half? Like, can you be half a stone, or do they call it like a pebble?
I don't think they call you like a river rock or a pebble or anything.
I don't know. I mean,
think, you know, it'd be like
always, every time I've heard them use stone, it's always, you know, it's never
round.
Like half,
yeah.
Like 2.5 stone. It's
yeah.
Always like 2 stone, 3 stone. So stone, I don't know. You just round up, round down.
Yeah, I don't know how the stones really work.
I kind of wish they use it. It's like a lot more exciting than like, oh, you know, it's 100 pounds. It's like 2 stone.
Yeah, I'm looking that up right now. I'm Googling that shit right now because now you've piqued my interest on the stone. Stone in weight. Let's see what it says. Let's see what it's telling. Oh, stone, a British unit of weight for dry pound, generally equivalent to 14 pounds. Though it varied from 4 to 32 pounds for various items over time. So the average is 14 pounds. So you're way more than 2 stones.
Yeah.
Like when I got my spot of tea, like, listen, you're going to be like, I'd say 5 stone heavier than me, right?
The problem then is then you have to do a lot of math.
Math is not hard, man.
It is. You'd have to take, like, if you weighed 140 pounds, then it would be simple enough. Or if you weighed 280 or something like that. But if you're like, you know, whatever, 213 is how many stone?
Well, yeah, you'd have to do math.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then you just say, I don't know.
Then you've given up. You're like,
yeah.
That's- yeah, but I think from now on, I'm going to try and use stone. And everybody's going to be like, what the F are you talking about, dude?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what? You're coming in about like 12 stone, right? You're a dirty bastard. You're a heavy bloke, whatever the frick they say.
Pretty, you know, this is pretty sweet, too.
What? Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't get sweet. Define your sweetness.
Sugary.
Oh, my God. You deserve a dick punch for that.
Well, it is. It's kind of, it's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get sweet.
I do.
Well, like, I know sugary sweet, but like, hey, can you like pinpoint, like, is it a ice cream bar sweet? Is it a caramel sweet?
What? Yeah, I'd say more of like a smoke. It's again, it's just like a smoke. Yeah, it'd probably be like this smoky caramel sweet.
Yeah. What was that? Did you hiccup? Did you throw up in your mouth? What? Mm-mm.
No.
So
my glass is empty is probably what's picking up.
Or your holy shit. Man, you just pound it.
Well, it wasn't a very big sampler.
Is that all of it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, man. I mean, are you kidding me?
Really? You already drank all that?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm ready to do ratings.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's go. I love it.
Mm-hmm. You want to go first?
No. I totally. You're ready, man. You go. You right away.
All right. I'm going to give it 7.5.
Okay, really? I thought you were going to come in lower than that.
Nah, I give it. Yeah, 7.5. 7.4. 7.4, 7.5. I'm going to give it a 7.5 because here's the thing. There's nothing bad about it. So there's not like. I mean, you know, when you start looking at something and it's like, well, you know, if you're going to be critical about it, what am I saying? It's just not overly complex. It's, you know, flavor profile is pretty simple, or pretty limited, but it didn't necessarily make it bad. So so I'm not moving it into like, I don't think it deserves anything really lower than that. I just struggle to give it something higher than that because it's not, you know, there's just not anything to me. There's nothing really about it. That's what I would consider remarkable or noteworthy. So
right.
Offensive. Yeah. It tastes good. It would be enjoyable to drink, but to go higher than that, for me personally, there would have to be, you know, something that I found in there that was, you know, kind of remarkable or unique. Something that, you know, something about it that kind of stood out. And I don't really get that with this. That doesn't mean I don't want people to get the wrong impression that it's that I didn't like it or that it, I know it kind of almost sounds like that, but that's not my intent. I don't mean to sound that way. It's just there's not.
Totally get it.
Yeah,
totally get it. So in our rating, in our rating, pantheon, 7.5 to 8 is good in many ways, very drinkable and inoffensive.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it's very drinkable. Yep. It's inoffensive. It's got some qualities that are good. Like you said, nothing like super extraordinary. Yeah, I like the smoke and the vanilla and the wood. But like you said, I don't get a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, I just wish there was something, just like if it was just a little bit more complexity to the
right.
flavor profile, I think it would be 100 times better. Just something. Just give me a little bit of something. I mean, it's just so basic. Of just, you know, like a woody smokiness, a little bit of caramel and some vanilla. I mean, it's just so basic. That's to me what is preventing it from getting a higher score.
But I also think that you're a spoiled bitch.
Well, I mean, when it comes to whiskeys, yeah, I have tried a few.
There you go.
A few now, and so, I don't really want to say it's spoiled, but I mean, it's not.
So I'm going to put this in like. Terms of like, okay, if you're out there and you're drinking like Evan Williams Black, which is a perfectly fine bourbon, perfectly fine everyday drinking bourbon, this is going to probably give you a whole lot more. But if you're out there and you're used to drinking, you know, really high Bardstown or some of these other really high-end bourbons, yeah, it's not going to have the complexity or that. But in the pantheon of bourbons, at $57 for me, I'm good to go. But you're right. There's nothing spectacular. There's nothing offensive about it either. So I'm probably going to be right in there with you. I'm going to probably give it about a 7.7, 7.8 for me. But I'm still in that 7.5 to 8 range with you. I'm totally there.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's 0.2-0.3% off. I just think I enjoyed it a little bit better than you, but that's, you know.
Yeah, it's still pretty close, though. I don't think we're actually that far away from it, and I don't think it's necessarily that one. I would almost argue, I don't even know if it's necessarily like that you liked it that much more than me. It's just that I might have been a little bit more critical of the lack of complexity than you.
Sure. And so. I think going forward, you know, for us, sometimes that's easily as important as other things, you know?
It is. Yeah, it probably comes down to a little bit of, you know, how often do you drink whiskeys? You know, If you don't drink whiskey very often or whatever, then you probably what's most important is something that's just tasty. You're not looking necessarily for what's, you know, what's complex, what's not. You might not even have tried enough to really know differences between them. You just want to have something that's an enjoyable drink. And I would definitely give Crooked Water, I'd give this a thumbs up in that regard.
Sure. Yeah.
I'd have no problem. You should have the house. Brought a bottle of this for everybody, you know, for the night, I'd be great. That's cool. You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily, if I was, if I had some whiskey aficionados over at the house, this wouldn't be the one I would break out to, you know, share.
No, impress or yeah, no.
Yeah. And but I probably am spoiled. So yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, totally fine.
We have tried. So some other whiskeys we've given in that category, I mean, which they're all different. I get that. So Rabbit Hole Straight Rye, it's above that for us. Teeling was, we know about Teeling. Let's not rehash that.
I would totally take Rabbit Hole Rye over that.
Yeah. Okay. So the Burning Chair. So we gave this very similar ratings. So Burning Chair, I gave a 7.3. You gave a 7.6, which were right in there. You know, again, and I think if I was to choose between the two, I'd probably prefer this one personally.
Yeah. I gave this a 7.5 and I gave Burning Chair a 7.6.
Yeah. So they're right there. And
close. Yeah.
But look it. I'm going to look at your notes real quick.
Sure.
Detail. Caramel, yeah. Vanilla, some sweet on the finish. I mean, dude, it's got like the only differentiating thing would be the smoke. Right for you?
Yeah, that's my point. So I'm actually glad you took notes. Now it kind of justify my point even a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's not remarkable. And that was the same thing that I said about Burning Chair. Wasn't Burning Chair the one I was just saying was like a safe bourbon? It was like a safe date, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Or had a bottle and I remember that review.
Yeah, so it literally on the rating scale, it's about exactly the same.
Yeah, that was a while ago that we tasted that one. So
yeah, I know, but that's why I keep these notes.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's one thing we always do is try to take notes back and revisit a little bit on what we've said on some of these. And I also think it's good that at least for me personally, I don't like to know much about the whiskey or the product that we're going to be testing out. I kind of like to just enter it blind and go from
which
there.
Which I think adds to the fun for you.
Oh, right. Yeah, completely. Yeah, I don't like to have, you know, I don't like to read other people's reviews. I don't even like to read the bottles or anything.
Exactly, which is great. But if people don't know, I'm in the business. I've been selling, you know, spirits for 20 years. So, you know, I know maybe more the intricacies, the ins and out, and why it's this way, blah, blah, blah. It's irrelevant. So it's hard for me not to peek, but it's almost like a test of your palate and your nose, which is pretty freaking consistent, man.
Well, that's
so
good.
Not only that. So what did you said about the Burning Chair? You know, what did you call this? This is a quote. This is a social whiskey. If I'm going to have buddies over drinking, the bottle's a talking piece. It's great. If I'm going to tell somebody, hey, you want something really complex, this isn't it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that, man.
This is pretty consistent with, I'd say basically you could almost take that same, you know.
Look at you.
I almost like maybe that extra 0.1 that I gave to Burning Chair was because of the bottle.
Yeah, it was a very cool
bottle. I mean, the marketing, the labeling and everything and the, you know, presentation of it I thought was pretty unique. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was
cool. I mean, so that's Crooked Water as well. I put it right in there with them.
No, but I appreciate your consistency. I'm more flighty, I think, maybe. I'm like, oh, I like this 8.9. And then, you know, next time I have the thing, it's like 2.
So. Well, I don't know if it's that quite that wide of a swing, but, you know, but that's the thing, too, that I think is good is, you know, everybody has different opinions and, you know, what they think of the whiskey.
So we're solid, same point, 7.5 to 8 on this. I think it's exactly where it belongs. And one thing we have not done yet, which we're going to do tonight, is what? We're going to try a second whiskey.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, I'm going to go ahead and let you give the introduction to this one.
And I'm not going to lie, I may butcher this as well. This is it's called Gouden Carolus. It is a Belgian single malt.
Okay.
I know I'm butchering the name. How many Belgian single malts do we get in Colorado? Probably not many. In fact, this is not sold here in the state. So again, I bought this online, and we're going to give it a whirl, man. I was so intrigued by having a Belgian single malt whiskey that I just couldn't help myself. So yeah, this is what we're going to go with, right?
Well, you know what? Yeah. And I do not think I have ever had a Belgian single malt. So
me neither. This is a double first.
Cool.
Double first.
All right.
So for people that don't know, we're not exactly Bill Gates and have just, money flowing everywhere. So what we do sometimes is one of us buys a bottle and does a pour off and sends it or gives it to the second half. So we don't like to buy two bottles of something we don't know if we like, just so we can buy more whiskey and rate more whiskey. We thought this was the best plan going forward. And if we both like it, there's some whiskeys we know we both will probably like, we'll just go both buy a bottle and enjoy that together on whiskey night, plus other occasions. Just an FYI for people to reason why you can't see the bottle. You don't know what proof it is. You don't know anything about it right now, which is actually kind of cool.
These I'm going a little bit blind.
I like you blind
with that. Yeah. But, for people out there, it's definitely cool, man. I mean, everybody's on lockdown, or kind of limited capacities to visit friends and things more complicated right now. So, that was kind of like how a lot of this, the impetus to start whiskey nights, because you can't do it in person maybe, but you can do it both on your front porches or backyards or whatnot, it's pretty fun. So yeah.
And
encourage you to get fun. Share it with your buddies,
I'm not going to lie. A lot of times it's the highlight of my week. If truth be told, in another episode, we'll tell you about, we'll give you a little bit of history about us and where we come from and what we do and why we do it. We're like,
all right, let's get going. Thieves. Here.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go.
Good God.
I know. I get so dramatic.
How do you say this again? Gouden?
Gouden Carolus. Gouden Carolus, like the Gouda cheese, but with an N on it.
Gouden. Okay.
Gouden Carolus. I can't do a Belgian accent. Yeah, I wish I could. Nobody
even knows what a Belgian accent is. Have you ever met anybody and be like, are you Belgian?
No.
I don't even know if that's a thing.
I can pick a lot of the Slavic and European ones and definitely the UK ones I have an ear towards, but don't know Belgian.
Okay. So
we're giving it a nose here,
I'd say it's not dark. It's not real light. It's kind of a medium, medium yellow, reddish brown, whatever.
I get yellow brown. I don't get much red. I get more orange.
Yeah. But it's not super dark one way or the other. It's also not very light. It's kind of like a medium.
Yep. So
the nose on it is very. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. So what I also want to tell people is I realize that people get really caught up in color. If it's really dark, it's been aged for a really long time. If it's really light, it hasn't been aged. Sometimes that's true, but that doesn't give you any kind of thing on flavor profile. We tried Jameson.
Yeah.
Jameson Distiller's Edition, Distiller Safe. Light is all get out. But flavor, it had plenty of it. So we just like to look at the color because, it's nice to drink something. It's kind of looking good.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely get some wood on this one as well. But
Definitely would. I'm not getting the ethanol heat. Are you getting much ethanol heat?
No, not at all.
Me neither. I know this is going to sound weird. I get almost like a pineapple-y or a melon.
There's a little bit of, I get a little bit of some type of fruit coming across there.
Yeah. So what makes this a single malt? Obviously, it's from one single malting.
Is it finished in a any kind of unique, like a sherry or anything?
It is not. But once we get to the cask, I don't want to taint your impression, because I just read this. This is also very interesting.
Finished wine barrel something.
I really like the nose. Do you like the nose?
Yeah, I do a lot.
Ah, yeah, it's very different from what we've.
I'm trying it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's go.
That tastes
good. Yeah, it does taste good. But for all of you out there, like, what's with the pause? I guess we could drink it separate times, coordinate it, but it's really kind of hard.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. Coordinating your drinking. So I'm talking while he's drinking. He'll talk while I'm drinking.
Yeah, mostly you're talking and I'm mostly drinking.
Well, your skills. I can't drink as much as you, so I need to pace myself so I can get through. This is different than what we've had, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you give me your first impressions. I love your first impression. They're the best.
This right here is where I'm going to take a quick pause because I need another cube.
Okay, right.
So you can keep rattling. But
he's gonna cube pause.
Are you going to edit this part out?
No, it's fine. But while we're talking about that, I'm going to go about packaging. Super cool bottle. It's like short and squatty. It's got a bunch of ridges on it.
Talking about your package or are you talking about the bottle?
No, I'm talking about the bottle right now.
You said it was short and squatty with a
bunch. It had a bunch of ridges. Yeah, that's bad call right there, bro. But that's okay. I'm not editing that out because, people need to know that the package, but on the front, it's only got like this little medallion type thing. And it's, you know what? Now that I'm getting close to 50, there's no effing way I can read this shit unless I bring it really close. But, you know, it's the bottle's super cool, but it's got so much small writing on such a small label that it's semi-irritates me. Okay, so, all right. So it's got a horse with a chess piece on it. It's a king. That's kind of cool. And it's got the name Gudin Carolus, single malt. And then it's got a bunch of small ass writing. I'll read that later. So you got your cube.
Yeah. Oh God.
Oh God. Did you hurt yourself?
Leg day.
Oh, he went to the gym. I didn't. Brutal. I don't do that. In fact, you still haven't sent me workouts, dude.
Man, I've been really
overly busy.
I know. I've been so much going on this week.
Oh, you don't have anything. I mean, try to fit it in between whiskey night and napping.
Not getting naps, man. It's killing me.
So wrong at our age. So wrong. Man, you are a deep thinker. You are so contemplating this. You are worried about saying the wrong thing, aren't you?
No, not at all, man.
There's no wrong answer in whiskey, bro.
I know it's not getting wrong answers, but I'm serious. Like,
oh yeah, okay.
And I'm trying to like get flavor profiles or smells. It's like I have to concentrate on it a little bit. I know it's probably getting some pauses in there, but you know what? You can fucking edit that shit out.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know if we're going to need to, because people need to know that this is serious. Okay,
it might be a little boring, but I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like. You know, I need
to. Yeah, I get it. We don't want to just wing shit out there. We like to fully embrace our whiskeys that we're trying, whether they're good, bad.
Well, I just think they deserve, you know, to make sure we're giving them like at least a fair shake, you know, fair.
You know what? I think I'm going to cut that little segment out and put that at the beginning. We like to give every whiskey a fair shake.
Yeah, man. I mean, I definitely get, you know, there's some strong caramels and vanilla mixed in there smell.
There's something else I can't pinpoint.
There's some type of like some kind of fruit. I almost don't even know if I'd say I'd almost say plum.
Yeah, okay. I get it. So on the nose I got like a pineapple melon. On the flavor, I don't get any pineapple or melon. No.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say pineapple or maybe melon.
God, definitely not on the palate.
This thing was like,
you know what? You can say plum because I think plums gross me the hell out. I don't like them. So I don't know plum flavor as well. So if you want to say plum, I'm down with.
No, melon might be a more accurate descriptor.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
There's a little bit of spice to it.
So.
Wouldn't describe it as a lot of heat, though.
I don't get a lot of heat either.
Finish. It's a lot of flavors up front. Yeah, I'd say it's more up front, a little bit in the middle, and not much on a finish.
Not that I want to compare whiskeys back to back because these should be totally different. But this would be considered, I would say, more complex.
Yeah, I think it's more complex. I would consider this, like, this to me is a little bit more sophisticated.
Ooh, sophisticated, just like you.
Yeah, it's still not an overly complex whiskey. I will say that. Even the flavor profile on it, I wouldn't consider it exceptional.
Okay, so.
But it is, there is more going on. And it's a lighter, this is a lighter drink. This is a lighter whiskey.
100% on the total taste profile, I get way, way softer. Softer mouthfeel, softer flavor profile, but I think there's more flavor. So
yeah, it's more delicate. It's more of a delicate whiskey. I mean, it has like, you pick up the more flavors.
Right, but they're subtle.
They're subtle, yeah. And there's not a ton of them. So like I said, I've had definitely had more complex whiskeys, and these are pretty delicate. It's kind of a light drink. It's more sophisticated.
Yeah. Where I think Crooked Water kind of bitch slapped you with smoke and vanilla. Just like, bam, vanilla wood. And you get that. And it's hard to get past that. Where I think
there isn't anything to get past. That was it.
That was the flavor profile. Right. Okay, so I tried it neat. So I'm gonna add an ice, which you've already done, which is fine. It's all good. So yeah. So what you said a couple minutes ago you probably don't remember because your memory is horrible.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna refresh your memory because I wrote a note.
Yeah.
Because I'm good at writing notes. Yeah. You said vanilla and wood.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, looking at this, they want you the number one palate characteristic, vanilla.
Okay.
Vanilla.
Yes, for sure.
So you got that. So wood is about number four, but you got it, which is good. So that's all I'm going to say for now, because as we go on, you usually pick out a few more things and kind of reference those as we go along. So we are on our second whiskey tonight, which is awesome.
I'm actually surprised, though. You're telling me this isn't finished in any type of unique barrel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my bad, bro.
Okay, because I could have sworn it was finished in like a sherry or a wine barrel or something.
No, it's not.
Totally off.
Not that you're totally off, but they don't really give it. So it is aged, first of all, in used bourbon barrels. Since this is called a single malt whiskey, they can use whatever damn barrels they want, like a Scotch.
Yep.
So they take it from used bourbon barrels, and then they have what's called a anchor, not ANCH, like, you know, on a ship. Anchor, hot anchor. He is the master distiller, and he brings a bunch of barrels in, and he makes them to his personal specifications.
The barrels.
So, like, he takes staves from... this is just an example because I don't know, because it's proprietary for him. He doesn't tell you. So he can take staves from Scotch barrels, whiskey barrels, sherry barrels, wine barrels, and make them all into a one cask. And then he finishes his aging process in there. So this one is aged 30 months in used bourbon barrels. They've been retoasted. Then he takes them out and he has his own anchor cask.
Okay.
Now, I had to look this up because I thought I was stupid. After 20 years in the business, I've never heard of an anchor cask. Well, his name is Hot, literally H-A-T, but it's not pronounced Hat. It's Hot.
Yeah.
Hot Anchor oversees the cooperage, which is where they make all their barrels. They take all these barrels apart. They put staves, you know, like bourbon staves over here and a bunch of stuff. And he makes the barrel, like, I want four staves of that, two staves of that, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they make the barrel to his specifications. So there's absolutely the odds of them not having any sherry or Oloroso or rum or any of those casks in there. It's probably pretty small.
So basically, this was kind of like a trick question.
Yes.
And totally. I passed the test.
Because you asked if there's a secondary or
there's something in there. You can tell you're picking up on it. Mm-hmm. But it's also, like I said, it's a little bit hard to pick up for sure what that is. Like, just now it totally makes sense.
Searching the internet and whiskey sites and selling whiskey for all these years, never heard of this. But in Belgium, he's revered. He's, you know, he's like the master distiller.
Okay.
Whatever the Belgians drink. I don't even know what the hell they drink, but he's known as kind of a, you know, he's an icon. So
I don't even know, dude, like what else is there? Like, what is it? Belgian waffles?
Yeah, there's Belgian waffles. There's, you're asking the wrong guy. I'm just saying,
like, I'm not sure what else they make in Belgium.
Chocolate.
Oh, right. Belgian chocolate. I've heard of that. Yes.
I think they're known for their chocolate. But yeah, are they known for any kind of spirit category? I would think a big negative, other than Belgian people.
I'm wondering if I give like a little, you know, 80% of the 80% of the population, can they pinpoint Belgium on a map?
I doubt it. I couldn't.
Yeah, I could.
You're more about that than I am.
Okay. Well, you know what? This is a good whiskey, man. This guy did a good job. Yeah, and I kind of I like what he's doing with the barrel. So it's kind of cool. And so, this will get back to what I was saying before. Is like, I can appreciate this whiskey more. It's more unique. There's like some interest. There's like some, you know, there's some cool stuff going on with it. And you can pick up on that. And there's like this, like, you know, a deeper flavor profile. You know, you're picking up like these little subtle hints of different notes in the drink. It's, again, not a, I mean, I have had whiskeys for sure that I would say are more complex on their flavor profile than this, like stronger and more complex. But the only thing that if I had to be a little bit critical on this one, I guess, is I don't think that the finish is very remarkable.
Yeah. Very, very, very short.
Yeah. It's a pretty short finish. Which, you know, again, I mean, it's not like that's the end of the world or, you know, terrible. But if I had to be a little bit critical of it, I would say that. The rest of it's...
But...
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say with the short finish is it doesn't say, I don't want any more. Like, I think my palate says, oh, I'd like some more of that.
Yeah, well, it almost keeps inviting you back for, like, another drink, you know? It's weird. It's almost like there's, like, this, like... It's like enticing you to try more, to get, like, to unlock a little bit more of the flavor, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you're worried about, you know, how much you're drinking, or you think you might be developing a problem, don't buy this because it's not going to help.
Yes. Yeah. It's super palatable. It's super easy drinking and smooth. And you know what I was a little bit shocked by? It's 92 proof.
Really?
Yeah. It's two more proof than the last one we had, but this
never would have guessed that at all.
I would have never picked this at more than 82, 84 proof.
Not at 80. All. Yeah, yeah, not at all.
It is remarkably smooth and easy going down. And now, on the last whiskey, you said you feel you had a bit of sweetness.
Yeah.
Are you getting that? Are you getting any sweetness?
I still get sweetness, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's not. So, I wouldn't say it's necessarily as the other one. The other Crooked Water was more of a like I said, almost a little bit more of a sugary sweetness.
Sure,
it was more of like a honey or like that honey vanilla mixture of sweetness. You know.
You know what, dude? I don't know why the hell you do what you do. You should have been a whiskey taster.
I am a whiskey taster.
I know, but like maybe for like a profession.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to tell you why, Dev. You know why?
Why? Because we didn't start whiskey night early enough?
No, because nobody would be dumb enough to pay me to do it for a living. But outside of that, no, I mean, hey, serious. Sometimes it's best if you can find like hobbies or things you enjoy and just leave them as your hobbies. Because once
this is true,
sometimes you start pursuing things that, you know, you enjoy your passions, then you know what? Then it becomes a business. And then like all business.
Yeah.
It corrupts it a little bit. And it starts taking away a little bit of that fun and passion
We do this purely for fun, purely for interaction, purely for, you know, a little bit of reprise from COVID bullshit.
Dude, I do it because I like whiskey. Tastes good.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
That's the thing. We both found out we like whiskeys. Some stuff we don't like doesn't matter. If we rate this a 2.
Yeah. Whiskey's the best.
We won't.
You know what? I mean, there's just so many different types of whiskeys out there, and each one's a little bit unique, and you can try all these different ones out, and they're not pretentious like wine sniffers are. And you know what? Just let me go ahead and sit and enjoy my whiskeys. There's few things in life that are better than that. That's why I like whiskey. Okay.
Yeah, and I think the category has as much to provide as any wine category, easily.
Wine is, yeah, don't even get me started on wine.
No, I'm not going to get you started on wine because we'll get a 20-minute rant about wine people. Not that we don't like wine. I'll drink wine, but it's just not my thing. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go through like, oh, this has the mouthfeel of a warm horse blanket, or it's got the nose of cat pee. Somebody said that to me. I'm like, is that a fucking good thing? I don't want to smell cat pee. It smells fucking terrible. And I'm not bagging on wine, people. That's your thing. Do your wine. Let us stick with whiskey, scotch, Irish whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I don't even care. We can do flavored whiskey. Not that I'm really into flavored whiskey, but whatever. We'll do what we do. So that's why we chose whiskey, because we both have an affinity towards the spirit. And
okay, hey, one other thing too.
Yeah,
the nose.
Yeah,
give me a nose. Very slight.
Yeah, come on, man.
There's almost a little bit of chocolate.
All right, so I'm gonna go to. I'm going to go to the flavor wheel. So the flavor wheel.
Dark chocolate, I think I was picking up on that too.
So Flaviere, excellent site for those of you that don't know. Members get a rate whiskey. Sometimes I don't agree. Sometimes I do agree. But it's nice to see. And it doesn't really affect my buying patterns, I would say. But it's nice to see they have a good write-up. They tell you a bunch of information. I try not to get on there until we're about this point in our tasting, because I like to test my homie. So at the beginning, you got the vanilla, right? And we said some sort of fruit. I said pineapple on nose, but not on the palate. Some sort of melon. Not really any melon listed on here, but not that I care. But guess what? They got woody. They got stone fruit, which is pitted fruit, which I think most of the you said plum.
Stone fruit.
So stone fruit, it just means it has a pit. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Either way, so we got some citrus, which I didn't get any citrus, but woody, chocolate, which you just got, which I was so happy because you had a really good nose. Everybody, Rant has a really good nose. He does. He's got a good palate and a good nose. He's a total doucher, but that's fine. So, you know, we got some stuff on there that I didn't see. So they have peach. I don't get peach. I can get the apple, though. They have an apple, not on the nose, but on the taste profile. I think that might have been the fruit. I just don't eat a lot of fruit. I'm not a fruit guy. So I think maybe I missed that, but it definitely could have been apple. Orange peel on the very, very end, which I don't get, but you know.
I I'm just listening to you. I could say, I could agree with the apple. I think.
Yeah, I can get the apple. I can get the apple.
Throws me off a lot of times when they talk about apple. It's a lot of times I'll call it fruit, like a fruit. I don't even know. Is an apple a fruit?
Yeah, but how many damn different kinds of apples are there? I mean, I drink
a lot. Yeah.
I mean, the difference between a Granny Smith and a red is ridiculous.
Yeah, I could pick up on that, though. Okay. I agree with that.
Yeah, so I think that's the fruit that I was getting. I think the nose is wonderful. I think I'm with you. Like, the palate just kind of – the finish is like, bam, like that rabbit hole rye.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit longer than the rabbit hole rye.
Yeah, true, but.
But it's not, it's not a long finish, no.
No.
It's pretty short, but the rabbit hole rye was one of the shortest finishes I can.
I know, they just packed all the flavor right up front. Bam, shazam.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You definitely get more, because I think
you just get. I can't believe either this is 92 proof.
I know. Yeah. I mean, literally, like, if I didn't feel it physically, I would never have known.
No.
But I'm a lightweight.
No, it's a good whiskey, though, man. I mean, I enjoy it. I mean, like, and again, I hate to compare, you know, whiskeys that we, but that's kind of like the motto or the what we're doing with the show tonight.
Right.
It's just it's a good example of, again, this is just, there's more complexity. There's more to talk about. There's more to enjoy. Crooked Water was just much simpler. Doesn't necessarily make it bad. It's just not as, you know, noteworthy or remarkable, so to speak. Well, let's go ahead and give a number to this Belgian Gouden.
Yeah, no, don't even say it. Gouda. Gouden. Gudin Carolus.
Yeah, name's terrible, but let's go ahead and give a.
Yeah, I always like you to go first because.
Say that again.
Or do you want me to go first on this one? First
last time, it's your turn. You have to bat.
All right. So Gudin, I actually, for 92 proof, I don't get it. I think, like you said, it's got way more taste profile. I was a little disappointed on the finish. I'm going to give this a 7.9. It's not quite to the next level to me.
Yeah. Well, I was right around in that 7.8, 7.9 range as well. I thought the absolute highest I could go would possibly be an 8.
Yes.
So, and I really was kind of, I just don't know if I want to put it into that 8 category. It's really close. It's really 7.9 as well. Yeah.
So
7.9.
I'm going to give you a little perspective here. So for us, you and me, 8, oh shit.
What's that?
8.0 to 8.5.
For what?
This is our rating.
Yes.
8.0 to 8.5. Very good dram. Minor flaws, solid whiskey. But I think it had a couple flaws. One, finish non-existent. I know it's a minor flaw, but I like finish. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I do as well. Yeah.
I would probably just get totally hammered on this because – there's no finish, and I'm just right back at it because I'm not tasting anything afterwards.
Yeah. You, like I said, it keeps you like you want to try more. You want to drink another glass because you're still like searching for that finish. It always just seems like it's right on the edge,
right?
Like you're gonna.
And so it doesn't quite last long enough for me. So yeah, I think 7.9. We're getting into that. Yeah, I think this is a very good whiskey, but again, I think it does have some flaws that. I'm not saying like, hey, if somebody brought this, I thought it would be totally badass. They brought a Belgian single malt, first of all, because there's no Belgian whiskey at all out there. So I thought that'd be fun, but I would be totally pleased at drinking this. Totally pleased.
Yeah. I personally wouldn't have a problem even giving it an 8.
Yeah.
You know
it's on that cusp.
It's really close, you know, just the fact that, you know, the whole background that you told me and everything, if I took that all into consideration, going off, wanted to like the whole experience and being able to tell people a little bit about, how it's made and it's from Belgium and all that kind of, or Belgian whiskey. Yeah. I might even bump it up into the 8. It's definitely between a 7.9 and an 8. It's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think in the grand scheme of things, I'm with you. I think I might move it into the 8 category because it's got a cool story.
Give it an 8.
Super unique.
Let's go ahead and give it an 8.
Yeah, let's give it an 8. I'm going to do a double 8.
Consensus, that's, with the 7.9s, which is pretty rare. But let's go ahead and move that into an 8. Let's go ahead and 8.
Big letters, double 8s.
Yeah, that's unusual too.
Yeah, for us.
It's pretty close. Not all the time, but.
So, again, because I keep copious notes and we like notes. So, Compass Box, we gave high ratings. So, I'm not going to even compare it to that. So, Whistle Pig, Piggyback Rye, we gave mid 7s. We gave Jameson not even an 8. 7.8 was our average.
Jameson what?
Jameson, the Whiskey Maker Series, the Distiller Safe. Distiller
Safe? Yeah, I'd agree with that. Distiller Safe, I think, out of the different, what do they call it? The Distiller Series, is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Whiskey Maker Series.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
No. So we, Rabbit Hole, we've done 2 Rabbit Holes. We gave Cave Hill, which is the bourbon, mid-7s, totally legit. Burning Chair, mid-7s.
Yep.
Teeling, let's not talk about. Crooked Water, we just gave a 7.5, 7.8. And then Boxer Rail, Rabbit Hole Rye.
Yes.
That, our average was an 8.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would consider, totally different whiskey.
Yeah.
Totally different whiskey. But I think this is good.
It is. Yeah, I'd put it up. I like that rating. I think that's actually pretty accurate. Yeah.
No, it's super tasty.
That was good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I put it this way. So since we've been recording,
right,
my wife always wants to try these, which is great. I'm all for it.
Sure.
So she came up and tried Crooked Water. She's like, yeah, not my thing. It's good, but it's I wouldn't drink it. She's not a bourbon whiskey drinker at all. But she came up and for the Guten Carlos.
Yeah.
She just came up and got a second helping.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a rarity.
There you go.
So I think palate-wise, I think this is more palatable to novices, which she totally is a novice.
Oh, but, really? I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, not that I'd...
No, just... they can palate it, but I think it's definitely got the complexity for me and you, I think. You know what I mean?
No.
No, okay.
What were you saying? It's more palatable?
Okay, so this is going to be a softer whiskey than Crooked Water. Way softer, right?
I guess. I don't know. I thought Crooked Water was actually pretty smooth as well.
Yeah, yeah. Totally smooth, but it is a bourbon whiskey, and it was fairly hearty, meaning the flavor profile was, I guess.
No, it was just smoky. There just wasn't a whole, like, I don't know. My thing on Crooked Water is it just wasn't complex. It's just very basic. So, like, if you're into, like, smoke with some hints of vanilla and a little bit of like caramel, then great. That you know, that would be a really good drink for you. It's got a short finish. It's not overly complex. It was smooth. You know, it's an easygoing bourbon to drink. Then yeah, Crooked Water is great. You know,
I really enjoyed Crooked Water.
Guten's just much more complex. There's just the flavor profile on it. The nose on it, everything on it was more complex than like what the Crooked Water would be, you know.
Totally, but I also think it's softer on the palate. I'm not saying smoother. I'm just saying softer on the palate. Meaning,
well, I would agree, I guess, with that as well. Because you know, but here's the thing: is you know, whenever you have a like strong wood and smoke as two of your main descriptors of something, those aren't exactly like soft on the palate.
No,
you know,
no, things, totally.
Smoke yeah. And wood. So that's fair enough. That's fair.
Yeah. So hence this reason, this got bumped up to an 8. It got bumped up to the next category for us, I think, right? For complexity and many different flavor profiles, interesting nose, you know, not just one or two different palate indicators, they say, as you know, we got 4 or 5 different things where we just got 2 then 3. Not that it's bad. I would drink Crooked Water any day of the week. I really would. But if somebody gave me the choice, of course they're 2. I guess it's fun to compare because they're 2 totally different whiskeys.
Yeah.
But again, I would take both and I would drink both. But if somebody put them side by side, I'm like, yeah, I'd probably take the Belgian single malt. Probably just would.
Oh, if I had tried them before, yeah, it wouldn't even be any question.
Right, so
like one's complex, the other one's basic.
Right,
so I mean, if you want basic, you get that Crooked Water.
Yeah, what they need to know is like, hey, these are both great whiskeys. It's just where you are in your whiskey tasting travels. Right at this point, we're looking for a little bit more complexity.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you a quick thing on bourbon because I do like bourbons, right? Some bourbons are more than others. You know, this and that. I'm a little bit, I can be a little bit sweet sensitive, but like,
yeah.
You know, give you a quick little plug here for Yellow Rose, that Outlaw Bourbon whiskey.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, like that is unique.
Yeah,
it's like bam. I mean, when you drink that stuff, it's strong, bold, it's powerful, but but there's a uniqueness to the flavor of it, right? Like totally. Compared to like the Crooked Water. Okay,
absolutely.
Now, somebody who I'm going to tell you this right now, if you did not like whiskeys much, the Crooked Water would probably be more palatable to a non-whiskey drinker than the Outlaw would be.
Oh, yes.
Okay. But Yellow Rose would get a way higher rating from me because it's more unique.
Yeah.
It's totally. Interesting. There's depth to it.
So. Yeah. So when, okay. So we did the Spaniard last week.
Yeah.
Which we are not Scotch people.
No.
Just not. But the Spaniard was great, in my opinion. It was just, we're not.
I enjoyed the Spaniard a lot. What did we give that for?
So you were all in on the Spaniard. You gave it 8.6.
Yeah. Yeah.
8.6. That's a high rating in our world.
Yeah, it is. I liked it a lot, though.
Yeah, so we reserve those kind of ratings that will come down in the future for, you know, Redbreast 27, Jameson 18, like hard to get, you know, super small production whiskeys. So for us to give our first Scotch rating that, yeah, dude, I love that whiskey.
Yeah.
I loved everything about it. I really did.
Yeah.
Really. I found no flaws really.
Yeah. In it. And that's the thing. It's just like when you start having, you know, and you know, for people out there, if they haven't done it yet, it's like when you start trying like some of these different whiskeys out that you haven't had before that are, you know, smaller batch whiskeys and stuff. I mean, some of them are, they're so unique. They taste so good, man. And it's just like, really, like, there's a lot of complexity to these things. And it's like, if I'm going to, you know, like basically, if you're going to sit around and have some whiskey to enjoy, then get something that's complex. Get something that's unique. Right. There's something there to it. Rather, I mean, otherwise, you could just be drinking whatever. You know, just get some bottom shelf, you know, gut rot and drink it. If all you're doing is just drinking to get drunk, I mean, that's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, it's so there's a lot more to whiskeys than that.
Yeah, and this for us, you know, we're creeping up on 50. This is our exploration now. We've been in our careers a long time. We do okay for ourselves, but this is the chance in our life to really kind of expand and explore. And, you know,
Christ, you sound like you're in a fucking infomercial.
Yeah.
Swingers.
Well, either way, but still though, like what are we looking for whiskey? What do we look for whiskeys? We're looking at what? We're not looking at price. We're looking at interesting.
Yeah, I do like to take price a little bit into consideration.
Oh, sure, of course, but a little bit. But like,
yeah,
I'm going to spend what I need to spend on if it's something I want to try. Where, you know, if you're in your 30s, I'm like 20 years ago, I wouldn't have bought these whiskeys because I probably couldn't have afforded them. But, you know, not that these are extraordinarily expensive.
You know what? I agree, but I also disagree in this.
Yeah,
that
tell me.
Talk to me. Because that's the whole point of like being able to share information and discuss this kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe when I was younger, when you're in your 20s or 30s, you can't afford to go out and spend $80 or $60 or $70 on a bottle just to experiment with and then bring it home and taste it. And it tastes like somebody poured whiskey through an ashtray that was in your dirty sock.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, that sucked. Right. And then so what happens is you try one and you're like, okay, I like it. It's like, you know, regular Jameson or Jack Daniel, or whatever. And then that's all you drink because you know what you're getting and it's safe.
Sure.
And I can appreciate that. So the whole
premise
of like having this show or when you talk to people about whiskeys, it's like, hey, you know what? I've tried some of these different ones out. Yeah, this is good. This is bad. And so hopefully people, you know, go and maybe they can try one of these that have been highly reviewed and be like, yeah, you know what? They were right. This is good. So you don't feel like, yeah, you made a $50 or a $60 or $70 purchase, but you don't feel like it was wasted.
Right.
Because it is actually enjoyable, you know, and that is important. So there's people in life who never move past that. They're just always playing in these safe zones. And there's not necessarily that I would say there's anything wrong with that. It's just unfortunate in the sense that you're not getting an opportunity to experience all these great whiskeys or whatever it is in life.
Yeah.
You're afraid to step outside of your comfort zone. And I understand why people are afraid to step outside of their comfort zone. But that's the whole point of like having shows like this and other places where they're reviewing things is to hopefully take down or, you know, help remove a little bit of that risk.
Yeah.
People assume by having to go out there to a liquor store, which can be intimidating. You're standing in the whiskey aisle and, you know, there's 100 different ones to pick from. And you're like, you know, you have no idea what you're choosing. And that's why a lot of people just fall back onto, you know, the same two or three whiskeys that they've had before that, you know, they know they like or that are palatable and they go with that. But man, there's a whole world out there. You just got to step out, you know, out into it a little bit. And that's what I'm hoping people like who do listen to the show can pick up a little bit on that and be like, yeah, all right. That sounded like that got a really good review. It sounded like they enjoyed it. It sounds like something that the flavors that I would like, I'm going to look for it. I'm going to try it out.
That's 100% well said.
Thank you.
100% well said. Put it in perspective of where you are. Like until a few years ago, I think you and I were stuck in that, frankly.
No, you were stuck in that, not me.
Okay, listen, man.
I'm just saying, don't throw me under the bus.
I'll throw you under the bus if I need. Yeah.
Up until a couple of years ago.
Okay, how many years you want to go back? 5, 10?
For me?
Yeah, for you.
Oh, let me think now.
Oh, my God. This is going to be
you
got to
go back probably 12, 15 years.
Oh, come on. You were drinking like vodka. You weren't drinking any bourbon.
Well.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, I still like my vodkas.
I fucking hate vodka. I like gin.
Yeah, I like vodka too. But we don't have a vodka show, so I don't know if that's entirely.
Yeah, I don't want to get into a vodka show.
What's that?
I don't want to get into a vodka show.
No, I don't.
Okay, I'm talking about whiskey, not spirits in general.
Well, you made it sound like you're talking about life in general.
Oh, no. No, we're just talking about whiskey.
Oh, I probably got more into whiskeys and probably 5 to 10 years ago.
Okay, yeah. So,
but you need to clarify yourself.
Yes, you're
right. That's how I was with everything, and I was like, "No, you're mistaken."
Yeah, I'm totally mistaken on that. But
yeah,
well, we're talking about whiskeys and scotches and stuff. Yeah, I'm not. I developed a taste for scotch maybe less than a decade ago, and I've been in the business for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me to take 20 some years to actually get invested in scotch, and I don't love them all. I just don't. But the whiskey thing has probably been for me personally, where I've actually wanted to know more and taste different ones, has probably been less than 5 years, because I sold everything. I've sold everything in rum and tequila, and I do like tequila. Rum's not my thing. I love gin. Vodka is not my thing, but, you know, it took me a long time to get in liqueurs and all that kind of stuff. But finally, you and I have gotten on the same page and saying, hey, let's explore this category, because we both enjoy it.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. Yeah. When you put it in those. Yeah. Okay. Well, you were totally talking about something different before.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Like when I phrase that all fucking wrong.
Yeah, except all you were wrong. Talking about like just generally in life, and I was like, probably last 5 years, and I think that was been more of a. I would say you probably helped spur that on, but I think it was more of a mutual. Like we helped each other to like push try
absolutely things,
if that makes sense.
Because I remember talking to you specifically, like, hey, I've tried this whiskey. Do you sell it? I'm like, no, I don't sell it, so I don't really know. But then you're like, well, I kind of like this, like High West. I'm going to throw out High West.
Yeah.
From Utah. I don't sell it. I think they make fantastic whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, I really like High West. I'm like, you know what? I gutted it up, and because I don't sell it, it's hard for me to purchase it. You and I were out for dinner. At that place we liked, and you're like, dude, you just need to try this. And High West makes fantastic product.
Did I get you a double rye?
Yeah, you got me a double rye, which I'm not a big rye guy. Got a double rye, and you're like, dude, you'll like it. And then that's when we kind of got into like talking about different kinds of whiskeys and all that kind of stuff. So that kind of maybe was like the birth of our exchange of whiskeys and stuff, because it's really hard for me to buy whiskeys that I don't sell anymore. I don't care. Let's just try something good and unique. I don't care. But I think that was mutual in the fact that I'm like, hey, try this whiskey. You're like,
I think I've tried it. With the whiskeys compared to the other spirits is the complexity.
Yeah.
Difference between it. I mean, the other ones, it's not even necessarily like, oh yeah, you know, like I said, in vodkas, I mean, I like different types of, you know, different vodkas as well. They're just not as complex at all.
No.
Gin is actually relatively complex. And I do like gins, but they're not nearly as complex, in my opinion, as whiskeys. There's so many different types of whiskeys, and they're so much more complex.
Yeah.
That there's a big gap between whiskey and gin.
Spirits,
I don't know. There's a lot of other spirits I'm not really, I guess.
Well, I'm like, You can talk about liqueurs all you want. Like Grand Marnier, it's cognac and orange. It's always going to taste like cognac and orange.
Yeah, I don't want that stuff, though.
Yeah, you taste Jägermeister, it tastes like licorice, black licorice.
Right, that's not my
thing. And it's always supposed to taste that way, where you try, you know, I mean, liqueurs are meant to be liqueurs. They're supposed to taste like that fruit or whatever all the time. We're like, even if you get a single malt, even if it's a 12-year, I don't care if it's 15-year, right, it's going to taste different.
Yeah, there's variation in it.
Exactly. Yeah, whiskey is no different. And I think that's the fun part, right? Because I think you have a really good nose.
Yeah. Well, it's just enjoyable. It's unique. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's complex. There's, you know, a lot more to it. So,
And I guarantee whiskey's going down the line, you're going to be like, ah, man, I'm going to give that 8.5. And I'll be like, that's a 5. That shit is garbage. I mean, we have similar palates, but I guarantee somewhere down the road, you're going to be like, or I'm going to be like, oh, I love this. And you're going to be like, dude, really?
Could be. Like, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. We've had one, I thought, though, that we tried not that long ago that you liked a lot more than me.
Yes, yes. Let me look in my book, man. Way to go, man. I thought your memory sucked, but you seem to be really good on whiskey night.
It just depends. Yeah, what we're there. There was one that we had that you liked considerably more than me.
Yep. Yep,
there was sure was. I liked Whistle Pig more than you.
Yeah, you definitely liked Whistle Pig more than me. I gave Jameson a little bit higher rating than you. Teeling
was terrible.
I mean, for those of you out there that like Teeling, great. Love Teeling. They're a great Irish whiskey producer, but
no, they're terrible. Teeling sucks.
That one we had was garbage.
It was terrible.
It was. Okay, so I'm coming to it now. Oh, yeah, it was Jameson. Actually, Jameson Distillers Safe. Right. So you gave it mid-7s. I gave it an 8.2.
What? I gave it a 7 what?
7.6. I gave it an 8.2. For us, that's fairly significant.
8.2 is way too high.
Yeah, looking back on it now.
Yeah, that was a terrible rating.
What the fuck? Just because you don't agree with it doesn't make it terrible.
Just trying to be honest, man.
You're right. Looking back on it, now that we've had like Jameson 18 and Redbreast 27 and all that, yeah, it's a bit high. But we can go back. So later on in the show, I think we should get all three of the whiskey makers, Jamesons, and just go through a Thunder podcast on those.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in to our Double Whiskey Night podcast. Two super unique and really enjoyable whiskeys I can safely recommend to anyone. And remember to keep exploring and keep tasting. Until next time.
This has been a Brothers with Beards production. Follow us on Instagram at BWB Whiskey Night. Email us with questions and or comments at cranky@bwbwhiskey.com or rant@bwbwhiskey.com. And remember to never drink and drive.